Allons enfants de la patrie, le jour de gloire est arrivé. Contre nous de la tyrannie, l'étendard sanglant est levé. L'étendard sanglant est levé. Entendez-vous dans les campagnes mugir ces féroces soldats? Jusque dans nos bras, égorger nos fils, nos compagnes. Aux armes, citoyens, formez vos bataillons. Marchons, marchons, qu'un sang impur abreuve nos sillons. Aux armes,
citizens,
hold the
battalion, march on, let the impure blood soak our hands. Isn't that a dramatic thing? That is, once again, for this rebroadcast of the W.M. Briggs Show, Liberté, égalité, fraternité, ou la mort. We have decided to only keep one of these, égalité, equality. Equality is our theme. What is it? What is it all about? And why does it fascinate our culture so much? Well, the best thing we could do is to start off with some authorities. Matthew first, as is only proper. Then Paul, and then Luke. And we'll see what we could see about this equality thing. Matthew first. It will be as when a man was going on a journey, and he called in his servants and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to a third one 1, to each according to his ability. Not for nothing is this called the parable of the talents. Everybody has different talents. Inequality. Inequality. Now, here's another authority. Here we go to Paul. To each individual, the manifestation of the Spirit is given. To one is given, through the Spirit, the expression of wisdom. Another, the expression of knowledge. Another, faith. Another, the gifts of healing. Another, mighty deeds. To another, prophecy. To another, the discernment of spirits. To yet another, varieties of tongues. To another, the interpretation of those tongues. And, as I say, some of us are bloggers, which on the scale of spiritual importance ranks right up there with cigar salesmen and floor wax manufacturers. However, the point is clear. Not everybody is equal. There are manifest inequalities in life. Therefore, Jefferson was wrong. And he got away with it because at the time he was writing, people had other things on their mind. And besides which, nobody really believed what he said. It just sounded nice. And he gets away with it now because equality has paradoxically both axiomatic and humanity's goal. It's axiomatic because everybody believes what Jefferson said, that we are all born equal, that we are a blank slate, that education is the solution to all things, that human spirit, human will, human nature is malleable and formable and teachable. And with only the right pressures, with only the right nudging, with only the right manacles, if you like, applied by government or society, everybody can become equal. Well, this is absolutely false. This is why it is a goal, however, because it is so desired. And why it's so desired, we'll come to eventually. Yet, as we know, equality is built right into the system. And there can't be anything in all of our existence as obvious as inequality. After all, you're able to tell your mother from your father, and you're able to tell them from the neighbors across the street, and so on. You even know, or you used to be able to admit to know, the difference between boys and girls, males and females. Even when some men pretending to be women would want to use the wrong toilet. Differences are the natural state. This being so, it pays to understand inequality and to comprehend why inequality is necessary, but why also it is so hated. Well, for one, ineradicable differences cause jealousy. And if this emotion is indulged in, the impossible is desired and finally demanded, which is the state of equality, the state of perfect equality, the state where all are the same. Now, no such state can ever exist. It is not only unlikely, it is impossible. It cannot happen, no matter what. And since it is insane to pursue what cannot exist, what does that tell you about the state of our society? Now, maybe there are, as is probably obvious, some definitions of equality that make sense. Let's look at, our third authority here, Luke, and see what he said. All who believed were together and had things in common. They would sell their property and possessions and divide them among all according to each one's need. Well, there is a true sense of equality right there for you. A quality of purpose. This was a group of priests living together, as priests and dioceses still do today. One kitchen, one set of pots and pans, used by all, and as importantly, washed by all. Community of property, which is to say, communism, is or can be the ideal solution to singular problems, but not most problems, not most situations. You expand this group, this little priestly group, even a little, and inequality sets in, as do bishops and the like. No large group can have equality, not even equality of purpose. Not all of us can be farmers and simultaneously manufacturers, and simultaneously priests, and physicians, and auto mechanics, and surgeons, and scientists, and you go on and name it. We can't be all these things at once. Inequality, again, is manifest. Communism works only when the group is singular in purpose, as I said, and quite small. And as we know from all experience, most communes fail, even the small ones. How it would be expected to work on a nationwide basis is another form of insanity. Now, even when these small communistic groups exist, they still rely on what I could call, or we could call, inequality groups. People like us, dear listeners. We need to exist to supply the equality groups with needs, parishioners, if nothing else. Well, let's see here. There are other true senses of equality. We will all die. We all share in human nature. We all have free will. Although, curiously, but this time, somebody will now be saying, I don't. Well, the paradox won't bother them either. We all must choose our ultimate destiny based on that free will. We all have inherent dignity in being human. We all must eat. We all need company. But besides things like this, breathing, for instance, and the like, that is about it. that's the only type of a quality of possession, if you like, or ability. After that, there's not much that is equal or should be. What about, for instance, equality under the law? Well, none of us really believe in that, nor should we. All human beings are human beings, as we've just said, but we treat juveniles and idiots differently than adults, recognizing the manifest inequality. Infants and the ancient do not and are not expected to participate in social in society equally. And these differences are there for a reason, because we all recognize that a two-day-old baby is not the same as a 20-year-old, a 40-year-old, or an 80- or 100-year-old adult. Inequality, again, is meaningful. Now, the test of equality in treatment is whether some act, whether it is said in doing this act that the ends justify the means, which they never can. This is why when we're talking about adults, we say everybody should have the law applied to adults equally. This is not the ends justifying the means. These are the means themselves being moral. Immoral means cannot be used as the path to some desirable in itself moral or good end. The means have to be just as moral. Well, paradoxically, victim groups, usually centered around a race which doesn't exist or around some mental illness of some kind, want their behaviors treated as if these behaviors were equivalent to normal behavior. This obvious inequality is what they call, and they want us to call, equality, which is, again, another form of insanity, calling things what they are not. Now, it turns out yesterday, our leader, Dear Barry, was in, I can't remember where it was, but he dedicated a brand new national monument. This was called the Belmont Paul Women's Equality National Monument. And he had a few things to say about that. Let's listen in on what Barry had to say and see if it makes any sense.
It should be noted that today is Equal Pay Day, which means a woman has to work about this far into 2016 just to earn what a man earned in 2015. You know, equal pay for equal work should be a fundamental principle of our economy. It's the idea that whether you're a high school teacher, a business executive, or a professional soccer player or tennis player, your work should be equally valued and rewarded, whether you are a man or a woman. It's a simple ideal. It's a simple principle. It's one that our leader of the Democratic caucus in the House, Nancy Pelosi, has been fighting for 4 years. But it's one where we still fall short. Today, the typical woman who works full-time earns 79 cents for every dollar that a typical man makes. And the gap is even wider for women of color. The typical black woman makes only 60 cents. A Latino woman, 55 cents for every dollar that a white man earns. Now, if we truly value fairness, then America should be a level playing field where everyone who works hard gets a chance to succeed.
Well, speaking of quality and fairness, I did, since we're in an election year, I reached out to the Hillary campaign and asked whether or not she had a comment, and she did. She said this. Well, that's about all you can say about equality. Listen. Equal pay for equal work. We're not interchangeable machines. We already know that there's inequalities. Men are not the same as women. So that equal pay for any two people should not be expected unless the job is very narrowly defined. In even itself, machine-like. Do you want fries with that, for instance? In order to prove that a woman is paid less than a man, these kind of statistics like Obama was using are useless, absolutely useless. And in fact, they do great harm. They're nonsense statistics. They've been debunked. These pay things have been debunked time and again. But the use of statistics to prove that inequalities were caused by sexism or racism or exophobia or anything like that are absolutely rot. It's magic. It's pseudoscience. It's ritual. It has nothing to do with proving cause. Statistics should not be used in this sense. If you really want to understand if a woman was paid less than a man because she's a woman, you have to ask the paymaster, did you pay this woman less than you would of a man because she's a woman? And then you have to hope he tells the truth. Or you have to find other evidence, corroborative evidence, for this particular case, why this woman was paid less than this man. Otherwise, the absolute rock-solid evidence of inequality, that women work less than men for biological reasons, trumps sentiment, or should trump sentiment. Now, he talked about sports, too. Why should we pay a female soccer player as much as a male soccer player when far fewer people are interested in watching female soccer players? Mostly because women soccer players are not as physically capable as male soccer players. It's just not as interesting. Should we pay them more because there are women? Now, this is nonsense, obviously. Now, money is one thing, but it's the latter sentiment about the genuine natural inequalities that exist that equality abhors. This is why people marched for marriage equality, so-called equality. Get it? To get it, they had to destroy the meaning of the word itself, marriage. The reality of inequality was hated, so reality was chucked. Now, as we should know or ought to know, inequality is necessary for life. Inequality is true diversity. Without inequality, nothing happens. Everything would be absolute stasis. So why is it that equality is around? Well, even John Stuart Mill, I'm going to read you a passage from John Stuart Mill, who himself was all in favor of, quote, experiments in living, and he loved equality. He pushed for equality, but even he saw that it could be pushed too far. He said, "The demand that all other people shall resemble ourselves grows by what it feeds on. If real resistance waits till life is reduced nearly to one uniform type, all deviations from that type will come to be considered impious, immoral, and even monstrous, contrary to nature. Mankind speedily becomes unable to conceive diversity when they have been for some time unaccustomed to see it." Listen to those words. Deviations from equality come to be considered impious, immoral, monstrous, contrary to nature, the exact opposite of truth. Because, and don't forget, Mill used the word diversity in its older true sense. Now, everybody knows today diversity means strict, unbending, enforced uniformity. Diversity means sameness. It means mandatory, whether set by law or custom, quotas. Mandatory quotas designed to make every subgroup, quote, look like the group as a whole. Diversity is dogmatic rigidity. Diversity is uniformity. It is equality. Now, we know this, that this is so, and we know that there are certain groups pushing for equality. We're going to understand what groups are pushing for it. The people themselves, but also the government. Why is the government pushing for equality? Well, on that subject, the best man we can listen to is Tim Hawkins and Uncle Sam.
Hey, everybody, gather around. I'm here to give you anything you like. You want free college, energy, mortgages, whatever you like. You have come to the right place. Why? I'll tell you why. Who can take your money?
Who can take your money?
With a twinkle in their eye.
A twinkle in their eye.
Take it all away and give it to some other guy. The government.
The government.
The government can.
The government
the sunrise?
Who can tax the sunrise?
Who can tax the trees?
Who can tax the trees?
Let you run a business and collect up all the fees. The government. And make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything we make to pay for all of their solutions. Healthcare, climate change, pollution. Throw away the Constitution. And who can give a bailout?
Who can give a bailout?
Tell us to behave.
Tell us to behave.
And make the founding fathers roll over in grave, the government.
The government.
Oh, the government can.
The government can.
And the government can, cause they mix it up with lies and make it all taste good.
Make it all taste good.
The government takes everything we make. They're power hungry and malicious. Their economics are fictitious. Soon we'll have to eat our dishes.
Can be a failure
in so many ways.
And
instead of getting fired, hey, we'll give ourselves a raise. The government.
Tim Hawkins, ladies and gentlemen. Big hand. Give him a big hand. Tim Hawkins. If you don't know Tim Hawkins, you should. I have a link on the website. He is a comedian. He's one of us, ladies and gentlemen. A very rare comedian in line with reality. Look for on his site or on YouTube his video about things men should not say to their wives. You will all agree that there is great wisdom in that song. Okay, so the government calls for equality. The government calls for equality for the obvious reason it wants to try to control the mob. But who else is calling for equality? Well, it's not the talented or men of genius. Or even humble family men content to cling to their guns and religion. Base leaders, as I say, they call on it to rally troops, hoping that they'll be able to control the mob that they've unleashed. Let's listen to de Tocqueville, see what he says about equality. He says equality is a slogan based on envy. It signifies in the heart of every Republican, nobody is going to occupy a place higher than I. But this envy leads to some strange things. Let's listen to Gracie Allen on this and see what equality has wrought.
You can tell Mr. Jenkins to take his hardware store and keep it.
Oh, what a mess things are in. No refrigerators, no washing machines, no cars. Well, this is what women get for letting men run the country.
You think men are to blame, huh?
Of course. Who runs business? Men. Who runs labor? Men. Who runs politics? Men. Who runs men? Women.
No longer, of course. Women gave up that supreme power, largely, when they sought out equality. Instead of running families with an iron rod and having immense amount of power, women now sit in cubicles and shuffle spreadsheets around in the name of equality as they have barren wombs and hoping they're going to find happiness that way. Well, James Fitzjames Stephen, a famous lawyer, he wrote the book. I have a link for it. He wrote the book absolutely dissecting, as a vivisectionist would, John Stuart Mill's most famous plea for equality. James Fitzjames Stephen, JFS, said, equality is in a vast number of cases nothing more than a vague expression of envy on the part of those who have not against those who have, and a vague aspiration toward a state of society in which there should be fewer contrasts than there are at present between one man's lot and another. So again, this is envy driving most calls for equality. Envy, of course, being one of the deadliest sins. Erich von Kuhnelt Leden, in his masterpiece, Liberty or Equality, The Challenge of Our Time, from which you can read lots and lots about how equality and democracy go together and both drive upon one another, feed each other, and lead to the ultimate case where democracy turns into tyranny. A republic first turns into a democracy then turns into a tyranny. I think that's pretty much what we see. All the great minds through all of history warned us that this happens. Unfortunately, all those great minds, as right as they are in their prognostication about this, and give no way out. There doesn't seem to be any way out for us either, not as a whole, not as an entire group, or not as an entire culture or country. These things just happen, and we could recognize the signs and symptoms, but doing too much about them doesn't seem to be anything that any one man has power to do. Anyway, I have a quote from him you could read. I have a link to his book, which you should absolutely have. It's free. So is JFS's book. You can read that. Equality. Why democracy and equality go hand in hand is equality is, by definition, a leveling force. President Obama admitted it himself in that speech. He called for, what did he call for? A level playing field. A level playing field. Well, listen, friends, the only way to level reality is with a bulldozer and dynamite. Equality is destructive. JFS again says, well, let me cut this quote short, but he says, the proposition that justice demands that people should live in society as equals must be translated as this. This is what people believe now, that it is inexpedient that any law should recognize any inequality between human beings. And that is what we're rapidly coming to. We can think about the case of men wanting to use the ladies' rooms in North Carolina. Any type of inequality is absolutely horrifying to those who would seek equality. And anything that sticks up must be leveled down. This is a cultural destroyer. Nothing can stand in the path of equality. For instance, let's give one more. This is our last example from JFS here. Used to be that everybody would be able to tell the difference between adults and children. After all, what could be more obvious than that besides the differences between men and women? So JFS had this to say. He said, if children were regarded by law as the equals of adults, the result would be infinitely worse than barbarism. It would involve a degree of cruelty to the young, which could hardly be realized, even in our imagination. The proceeding, in short, would be so utterly monstrous and irrational that I suppose it never entered into the head of the wildest zealot for equality to propose it. Alas, JFS did not see just how bad things would get. It has now certainly entered into the heads of zealots everywhere that there should be no inequality. That's it for this week, everybody. See you next time when we talk about our final doom.